I feel like having church now. What do you say, everybody?
Praise be to God. Thank God for the ministry of Brother Larnell Harris. Can we praise God one more time for Brother Harris? On many occasions, God has afforded us the privilege with Breath of Life to minister with Brother Harris, and Brother Harris with us today and also on other occasions. So I was grateful when I arrived in SoCal on Wednesday night and saw his name in the program, because I knew that God was going to visit this place. What do you say? It's good to be here today. Good to see you all. I was not introduced, and that's fine, because I'm at home today. Preached Thursday night, preached last night, so you know who I am. I know who you are. But if you don't know who I am, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Come on, say amen. So I'm glad to be here today. I want to thank my friend, the president of our conference, Pastor Ramiro Cano, and his lovely wife, and the warmth and hospitality they've shown me and my family, as well as all the officers and the directors, pastors, and the great members of the Central California Conference. I'm grateful that Elder Ivan Williams, my friend from the North American Division, is here today as well, along with Dr. Ricardo Graham and my good friend Pastor Tony Anobly from the Pacific Union Conference. I'm looking for my wife and our three girls. Oh, they're close. Amen. All right, so let's try this. I want to ask my wife to wave and raise at the same time. Raise and wave your hand, honey. All right, she stood. Come on, say amen. I didn't make her do that. All right. Then our three daughters. Kristen, who is 15, stand up. Amen. Kaylee, who is 13, stand up. And I think it was Pastor Chad, 3 or 4 years ago we were here, we didn't have this blessing, but God has blessed us. He told us to be fruitful and multiply. And so we are blessed now with 2-year-old Carissa. Help Carissa stand. There she is. Amen. And we are grateful to the Lord to be here today. Thank you for your support to Breath of Life and the Breath of Life ministry. I have seen some of you here, and you say, I see you on television. I see you on 3ABN. I see you on the Hope Channel. I see you on the Word Network. And then somebody had the nerve to tell me, and you look skinnier in person. I guess that was a compliment. I'll treat it as such. But I'm working on it. Amen. It's a sign of being prosperous. Come on, say amen. But it's good to be here. Good to see your smiling faces as we share in the blessings of God. Want to get right into the Word today. I didn't tell my church where I was specifically today, but now the church is over there in Huntsville at Oakwood. Some of them have already texted me and found out where I was, and they are tuning in right now. So praise be to God for that. This encampment, our theme that has been selected, is transformed. Everybody say transformed. 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 Learning today, leading tomorrow. Now on Thursday night and Friday night, I talked about how we need to transform this world. Number one, we've got to get out of the boat. We've got to go where no one has gone before. We have to do things a little differently because of the world in which we live. Then last night, we talked about excellence. We talked about what, everybody? We've got to do ministry for churches and our schools in excellence. But friends of mine, the reality is, before we can transform the world, some of us need transformation ourselves. And so today we're going to talk about being transformed ourselves. And so we go to my favorite recorded Bible story of Jesus's miracles. Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of John. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And we're going to verse number 1. John chapter 9. And we're going to verse number 1. John chapter 9, verse number 1. If you have it, let me hear you say amen. The word of God, and I'm reading from the King James Version, says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And as his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for when the night cometh, no man can do what, everybody? As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing." Skip down to verse number 18. The word of God says, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him," verse 19, "saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. But he is of age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself." I could preach a whole sermon on that text right there. "These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was born blind, and said unto him, You ought to give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." But I love the blind man's response. He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Oh, I'll preach right there, won't it, everybody? Go to verse 39. "And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth." This morning I want to challenge you with the subject, are you blind? God bless us now. May your spirit continue to reign in this place, not only for those who are seated in this auditorium, but also those who are watching. May your Holy Spirit flow everywhere. And when the appeal time comes today, move by your power, sprinkle out your grace, and give us a Central California Conference camp meeting Pentecost. We be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This miracle of healing the blind man, caused a great outburst of hatred against the man and Jesus. Now, you would have thought that this man being healed would have triggered great celebration. You would have thought that all of his friends and all of his neighbors would have appreciated what God had done for him in his life. But instead of celebrating him, controversy broke out over the man's healing. This shouldn't be strange to any of us, because as I've learned firsthand, the greatest moments in your life can produce the greatest moments of envy and jealousy in somebody else's life. But I've also learned that the opposite can be true. When things don't go well for you, some people rejoice in your failures. They rejoice in your disappointments. They rejoice in your defeats. Everybody's not happy when you're blessed. Everybody's not happy when you're successful. The young people today, I have to stay fresh, you know, preaching on a campus, so they keep me up to date with the terms today. And they say this is what we call today in the vernacular, hating. We often want people and expect that the people around us appreciate the journey that we've gone through in order to get where we are, and that they would be glad for us. But more times than that, your best moments becomes the source of somebody else's envy, jealousy, and frustration, because some people make it a career out of hating. But this is what the young people say, and I'll use it today. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. And learn how to be a cheerleader. Because if God is blessing you, God is blessing you, and God is blessing you, God must be in the neighborhood. And it's just a matter of time before God starts blessing me. Do I have a witness in this place? But the people are mad because Jesus has healed the man. Mad because the man's life has been changed. Mad because the man's life has been transformed. Mad because he's given his life to Jesus. Mad that he's no longer what he used to be. And mad that he is now what he should be. Who healed you? Where is he? You must have sinned. And if you didn't sin, your parents must have sinned. Because you were born blind. And how could a person have sinned before their birth anyway? So it had to be your parents. They must have sinned. But Jesus clears all of this up. He clears this up by saying the man's blindness had nothing to do with some sin in his life or his parents' life. Nothing the man did brought this upon him. Nothing his parents did brought this upon him. God was not punishing them. God was not angry with them. God was not mad with them. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. As I told you Thursday night, the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. God may allow us to suffer in order to strengthen our faith. Faith, you see, is more valuable than our health. We are saved by grace through faith. You can be healthy and still be lost, but you can't be faithful to God and be lost. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sin is not always the direct cause for suffering. So Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifested in him. In other words, Jesus is saying, look, brothers, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for somebody to blame. But quit looking at the problem and look to the solution. Jesus stoops down, spits on the ground, rubs the dirt and the spit together and makes mud, puts mud on the man's eyes, and then tells the man, go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. You should know by now that when Jesus gets ready to heal, sometimes his methods seem unorthodox. Sometimes his methods seem different. Let's expand our minds. Jesus could have spoken the word and said, I command you to see, but he didn't do that. Jesus could have laid his hands on the man and said, I command your eyes to open and to see, but Jesus didn't do that. When Jesus got ready to heal the man, he spat on the ground, made mud out of spits, and then told the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. What am I trying to say? Well, sometimes God's method of bringing you out may not be the way you wanted to come out. Sometimes when God brings you out, God doesn't bring you out comfortable, classy, polished, or refined. Sometimes when God's trying to change you, when God's trying to transform you, sometimes you have to have egg on your face. Sometimes you've got to have mud on your face. Sometimes you just might end up in a pig's pen. Sometimes you might go bankrupt. You might lose the house. Sometimes you're embarrassed because there are some people who want change in their life as long as it doesn't cost you anything. But God's blessings sometimes cost you something. I want the Lord to bless me. I need the blessings of God. I want to lose 50 pounds, but I want to eat ice cream late at night. I want to get out of debt. I have too many bills. I went out of debt, but you don't want to pay anybody off. I want a wife, but I don't want to work. Before God married Adam and Eve, God gave Adam a job. I wish I had a witness in this place. I want a husband, but I don't want to submit. Say amen, brother. Say amen. Amen. I want the church to grow, but I don't want to knock on doors. Give Bible studies. Be flexible and change. I want the church school to grow, but I don't want to recruit students. Offer a good curriculum. Increase the church's subsidy. You'd be surprised at people who want things but are not willing to go through what it takes to get it. But how bad do you want it? Because when you really want change, when you really want transformation, you gotta tell somebody, I'm past what you think about me. I'm past what you're gonna say about me. You don't have a heaven or hell for me. You don't put beans in my pot. So that means spit, mud, pig spin, whatever it takes. Jesus, just save me. I've also learned that sometimes when you decide to transform and change your life and follow the Lord, folk will talk about you and won't forget, let you forget where you've come from. They won't let you forget what you used to be. They won't let you forget where you used to go. But let me give you some advice. When your past calls, don't answer because it has nothing new to say, because you can't start the next chapter of your life if you're rereading the last one, because people who can't forget your past are not worth it having in your future. Amen. Forget people and do what God tells you to do. Go where God tells you to go. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give in. You've got to hang on in there. The race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to the ones who endure to the end. Sometimes you have to go through something to get something. Sometimes you have to go through something so God can get the glory. Last night I told you, no battle, no blessing, no pain, no gain, no victory, no valley, no victory, because there's no testimony without a test. The man is born blind. Jesus heals the man with spit and mud. But the Pharisees are mad. Why are they mad? Because Jesus didn't go to them for the man's healing. That he didn't ask them for permission to heal him. That they were unable to take a vote to approve Jesus' method of healing. You see, people will get mad. I wish I had a witness in this place. When they can't claim rights to your healing, when they can't claim rights to your successes, when they can't claim rights to your accomplishments. You see, friends of mine, if Jesus had sent this man to the Pharisees first, the Pharisees could have said, they did it. And then it would have been all right for the man to get healed. But because the man got healed outside the system, outside tradition, outside the box, outside their comfort zone, the Pharisees had a problem. And now they're gonna fight it because they can't accept that God did it. But remember, God is sovereign. God can do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, how he wants, and he doesn't have to ask us for permission to do as he wants. But the Pharisees asked him in verse number 19, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered and said, we know this is our son. He was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He can speak for himself. Then they called in verse 24, the former blind man. Well, who healed you? You ought to be giving God the praise and not this man who healed you. The man you're speaking of is a sinner. He broke religious law. He healed on the Sabbath. Isn't it funny how we can care more about policy than we do about people? Let me put a kickstand right there. We're talking about our young people and we're talking about our millenniums, this encampment. People are getting tired of that philosophy. We're living in a different age and society. People are tired of centralized structures. They're tired of revelation without relevance. Tired of plastic, fake, phony, lifeless, flat, comatose ministry. People are tired of coming to church getting beat up. They're tired of seeing the emphasis on policy rather than the needs of people. People are tired of coming to church and they are unable to come to a church where they can share their burdens and problems, and they don't do it because they're afraid that after they come clean, what folk are gonna say about it. People are tired of us putting on an outside show for an unfriendly world. It's like the story of the woman who was pulled over by the police. A man was being tailgated by a stressed out woman on a busy highway and boulevard. Suddenly, the light to the street turned yellow just in front of him. The man did the right thing. He stopped in the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by putting his pedal to the metal and accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman was mad. She was furious. She honked her horn. She screamed in frustration. She missed her chance to go through the light, dropping her cell phone and her makeup. She was still in mid-rant when she heard a tap on her window and looked up in the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. The officer took the woman to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed the woman in a holding cell. The woman was more mad. She was boiling. She shouted expletives. She gave the officer a few choice words. After a couple of hours had passed, another policeman approached the cell and opened the door. The woman was escorted back to the booking desk where the original arresting officer was waiting for her with her personal items. He said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry for the mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping the man off in front of you, and cussing like a sailor. But then I noticed the sign, 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, and the 'Follow Me to Church' bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. So naturally, I had assumed you had stolen the car." People, they want a real, authentic, genuine experience with Jesus, with real, authentic, genuine followers of Jesus Christ. Don't sow your wild oats during the week and then pray for a crop failure on the Sabbath. Folk are tired of coming to church leaving the same way. Ministry must be rooted in caring for and meeting the needs of people. Yes, I want a good sermon. Yes, I want to stomp my feet. Yes, I want a good song, but I also want to know you care about me. Ellen White said it best when she said that was Jesus' method. Jesus won people's confidence, then he bade them follow me. If we're going to transform this world, we've got to be relevant to the world, but also not only relevant, we've got to show people we care. The message is the same, but the way we share it through the methods must be different. The same way you found Jesus may not be the same way somebody else finds Jesus. The way your mother came in may not be the way you came in, and the way you came in may not be the way your child comes in. We have to be relevant, and we have to show people that we care. They will know we are Christians by our love. And that's what the blind man saw in Jesus. Jesus cared about him. The blind man then says in verse 25, "Look, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I don't know where he was born. I don't know where he came from. I don't know where he is right now. I don't know where he's going. I don't know his family. I don't know his friends. I don't know his mother or father. I don't know if he's a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, an accountant, or a teacher, a preacher. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. But the story doesn't stop there. You know, we preachers like to stop there, and then in the black tradition, we like to start hooping in our sermons, and then we go home. But the chapter doesn't end at verse 25. The chapter ends at verse 41. You see, in the text, there were two kinds of blind people. Number one, the man who was born blind, who Jesus made see. And then number two, the Pharisees who thought they were seeing when they were actually blind. You see, it's one thing to be blind and to know it, but it's another thing to be blind and not know it. You see, there is a thing that we call a blind spot. You do know what a blind spot is. If you're driving your car and you're looking out of your rear view mirror to check the lanes, there are some spots when you're driving that you can't see. The back right corner, you can't see. The back left corner, you can't see. These are what we call blind spots. You can turn your head and you will look for a quick minute at those spots so you will know if anything is there. But in the same minute that you look this way to check your blind spot over there, you can't see what's happening in front of you. Blind spots are created by the fact that we do not have eyes in the back of our heads, and it's physically impossible to see everything at the same time. In the text, the Pharisees have blind spots, but they're spiritual blind spots. They can't see what God is doing. God has just performed a miracle, but they can't see it. And when you have a spiritual blind spot, God can be doing something miraculous right in front of you, and you still won't see it. Because you see what you want to see. You see what you think things should be, but you can't see what God sees. And when you've got spiritual blind spots, you might just miss out on what God is doing right in front of your very eyes. But let me give you some shouting news right now. God is healing his people right now. God is changing his people right now. God is transforming his people right now. God is restoring and redeeming and saving his people right now. Now, our suits and our ties and our bow ties don't tell it, but there's somebody in this place at camp meeting right now. You got a job you didn't apply for. Somebody, you had a child that was on dope and they're being healed right now. Somebody, you were arrested and you were on the street, but you're being healed right now. Somebody went to a bankruptcy court, but your finances are being healed right now. Somebody's marriage was in trouble and headed to divorce court, but you're being healed right now. So don't wait till the battle is over. Go on and shout now. Because in the end, we're going to win. But number two, not only will a blind spot keep you from seeing what God is doing, but another thing I've learned about a spiritual blind spot is it will keep you from seeing what you're really doing. You see, when you're driving a car and you don't check your blind spot and you decide to make a lane change, you might not know it, but you might run right into that car that's right next to you, beside you, that's in your blind spot. And what you'll do is you'll hurt yourself and you'll hurt the person driving in that car. In the text, the Pharisees were unaware that with all their theological prowess, with all their debates about Sabbath laws and whether it was lawful to make a bit of mud and smooth it over a blind man's eyes for the purpose of making him see, with all these legal ramblings, they still couldn't see that they were trying to make this newly healed man wonder about his healing. They were trying to make him feel like some ungodly force, some unholy entity, some diabolical deity had brought about his healing. They were discrediting his sight as though he had no reason to be happy about his miracle. They were so hung up on their doctrines that they were blind to what their doctrines were doing to real people. They were blind to the guilt They were heaping upon the man that Jesus had just made whole. They were hurting the man where he had just been physically healed. They were emotionally and spiritually wounding the brother. They couldn't see it. They had a blind spot. They were religious, but they didn't know anything about relationship. They knew the law, but they didn't know about love. They knew about the commandments, but they didn't know about Christ. They knew the 23rd Psalms, but they didn't know the shepherd. They knew about God's spirit, but they were in the sanctuary, but didn't know about God's spirit. They knew the Lord's prayer, but they did not know the Lord. And religion without relationship ends up with folk worrying about what you have on, where you live, who you know, instead of getting to know Jesus. Religion without relationship breeds rituals, rules, self-righteousness. Religion without relationship ends up with war in the Middle East, refugees fleeing Syria, terroristic planes flying into the World Trade Centers. Religion without relationship ends up with Rwandan genocide. Religion without relationship ends up with a man driving down a French street, mauling and killing over 80 people. Religion without relationship ends up with bigotry and racism, self-absorption and strife. Religion without relationship has killed more people on this planet than anything else in this world. The Pharisees had spent their entire lives on being religious. And before we're too critical of them, let us take a look in the mirror. Because all of us, to some degree, are religious. There's nothing as dangerous as turning yourself over to a room full of church folk, especially when you've messed up. We have rules for which we have no scriptures. We have all kinds of ideas and concepts of what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. We will kill people over things that we later find out are really not that necessary. And where we have scriptures, we don't search them for appropriateness or contextual correctness. Many times we just hurl them out after the fashion of our fathers without questioning the possibility that our fathers could have been wrong. So we kill our sons, our future, trying to be loyal to our fathers, our past, and our future is destroyed by our commitment to our history because we love our history more than we seek our destiny. We're spiritually blind. We can't see what God is doing, and we can't see what we're doing. I hear people all the time when I preach across this country, "Preach, Pastor Bird," and then I say, "I'm doing the best I can." "Preach, Pastor Bird, tell it, tell them." Have you ever thought that maybe, just maybe, God is trying to tell you something? Are you blind? Can you not see? Can you not see what God is doing? Can you not see what you're doing? I'm a fifth generation Adventist. You will not out Adventist me. I tell it all the time. I'm a fifth generation Adventist, paternally and maternally. All I ever know is this church. I'm Adventist born, I'm Adventist bred, I'll be Adventist dead. Thank God for the Seventh-day Adventist church. Amen. I have eaten more grillers than you. Let me test you on this one. I was in Northern California 2 weeks ago and I tested them. Let me test Central California. You will not out-Adventist me. I grew up in a home where we kept the Sabbath for 26 hours. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You kept the Sabbath 1 hour before the Sabbath started, 1 hour after the Sabbath ended, because we were taught to guard the edges of the Sabbath. Do I have a witness in this place? But some of us, we're not standing on the promises. We're sitting on the premises. Going to church, no change. Going to women's conference, no change. Going to men's conference, no change. Going to camp meeting, no change. Going to revival and revelation seminar, no change. Are you blind? The disciples were trained and disciplined. They were committed. They were moral people. They were clean people. They were holy people. They didn't touch certain things. They didn't eat certain things. They didn't go to certain places. They kept the Sabbath holy. They kept God's law. And don't get it twisted. There's nothing wrong with this when it's motivated by love. After all, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my what, everybody? But don't act like you can do any and everything when you want to, where you want to, and how you want to, and then say you love Jesus. Your keeping of God's law will testify to whom you love. Listen to folk, I'm going to kill somebody, but I love God. No, you don't. I'm going to sleep with somebody that's not my wife, that's not my husband, but I love God. No, you don't. You love yourself. Law is the religion. Love is the relationship. You have to have love and law, faith and works, Christ and commandments, religion and relationship, holy scriptures, and you need the Holy Ghost. This is where the Pharisees had it wrong. They thought it was either or, not both and. Who's seeing? And who's really blind in the text? The man was physically blind, but the Pharisees were spiritually blind. Spiritual blindness is worse than physical blindness, because physical blindness can be healed, but spiritual blindness resists healing. Here we have a blind beggar seeing more clearly than the religious leaders. So Jesus says in verse number 39, for judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind. For all their knowledge of scripture, for all their religious practice, for all their information, for all their experience and expertise, they still miss the kingdom, and a poor blind man found it. His eyes were opened. Their eyes remained closed. You can enter the kingdom if you're physically blind, but you can't enter the kingdom if you're spiritually blind. Jesus says in verse 41, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, if you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure. Let me close this way. When I was a kid, I used to watch Scooby-Doo. Tell the truth, shame the devil. You watch Scooby-Doo too. And one of the characters on the show was Velma. And Velma was blind as a bat without her glasses. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. On the show, Velma would lose her glasses. And it would always happen when the bad guy would show up. So she would mistake the bad guy for the good guy and think the bad guy was her friend, when in reality, the bad guy wanted to hurt her. This is how it is for us when we're blinded by sin. We mistake the good guy for the bad guy. And we end up following the bad guy rather than the good guy who created us. Quit following the bad guy. Open up your eyes and follow the good guy. Quit following people who mean you no good. Quit following people who are going nowhere, no time fast. I tell the young people at Oakwood, you can do bad by yourself. Quit following Satan. All he wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And when blindness meets the light of the world, when sinners meet the Savior, when hungry souls meet the bread of life, when thirst meets the living water, when lost sheep meet the good shepherd, when the dead meet Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. This, my friends, is what happens. The blind receive their sight. The sinful receive forgiveness. The hungry are filled and satisfied. The lame walk. The dumb talk. The blind see, People are made whole. The disconsolate find hope. Prisoners are set free. The dead are raised, and eternal life is inherited. Somebody is blind today in this place. They can't be transformed, and they can't transform anybody else because they're blind. Not physically blind, but spiritually blind. Somebody needs to see. God led you to this place today, and God wants to heal you. God is about to set you free. Something is about to happen in your life. Something is about to move in your life. Something is about to take hold of you. You've been crying all night long. You've cried long enough. You've been blind long enough. You've been talked about long enough. But God is about to do something. Mud and all, I'm in. God, just heal me. God, just save me. Any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. Let me confess this morning. I refuse to live in misery and die in misery. I refuse to live in an earthly hell and die in an eternal hell. That's too much hell. But a breakthrough must come. I've learned in my life, if I were to tell you my story, I've learned that we have to praise God, not because of, but we have to learn how to praise God in spite of. You have to learn how to say, God, in spite of my circumstances, in spite of my situation, in spite of my feelings, in spite of my finances, in spite of my illnesses, in spite of death, I've got to be like David, and I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Church, I know what God has done for me. I know how God has set me free. I don't know where he came from. I don't know if he's a saint or a sinner. I don't know what city he came from. I don't know if he came from Bakersfield, if he came from Fresno, if he came from San Jose, if he came from San Francisco. I don't know what college he came from. I don't know if he came from Oakwood. I don't know if he came from Andrews, La Sierra, Loma Linda, or PUC. But all I know is I once was blind, but now I see. I don't know if he knows Barack Obama. I don't know if he knows Hillary Clinton. I don't know if he knows Donald Trump. But what I do know, I once was blind, but now I see. I don't know what the church board said. I don't know what the elders board said. I don't know what the deacon board said. I don't know what the conference committee said. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. All I know is I went to bed last night, slept for 6 hours, woke up this morning. All I know is I put the key in that rental car that I had, pressed on that gas pedal, and that car began to go. Somebody can testify today. I don't know your situation, but maybe somebody can say, all I know is they said I have stage 4 cancer. They told me to say my goodbyes. They told me nothing else was wrong and with me that they could do. But that was 3 years ago. Somebody's able to testify, I'm still here. I'm still breathing. So I don't know if he's a saint or a sinner. I'm not here to argue or debate how I got healed, when I got healed, where I got healed, what day I got healed, or who healed me. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. I said I was blind, but now I see. And when we come into the house of God, when we come into the presence of God, we ought to lift up holy hands and bless Him. I don't care what's happening in your life. You ought to lift up holy hands and you ought to bless God, because you may not be where you want to be, but praise God, you're not where you used to be. Your car might be bad, but it may be barely running, but praise God, you're not walking. You may not have the house you want, but praise God, you got a roof over your head. You may not have money in your pocket, but at least you've got some food on your table. You've had some good days, some bad days, some hills to climb. But when you look around and think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I don't know about you, but I won't complain. Come away from the complaint counter and come to the claim window. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their guilty stains. I came to praise the Lord. I came to transform the world. But before the world is transformed, I'm saying, God, transform me. So praise ye the Lord. I said, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery of the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the string instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud sounding cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Central California, let everything that hath breath. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. The coming of Jesus has divided people into two groups. Group number one, those who see Jesus, who Jesus really is, and they put their faith in Him. And then number two, those who are blind to who Jesus is and they reject Him. Today, are you looking for Jesus to come? Are we just gonna go through another cycle of camp meeting? But are you passionately looking for Jesus to come? Do you see what I see? Revelation 13 talks about two beasts. We know about the first beast. But Revelation text 13 says, the second beast must arise up out of the earth. Are you blind to what's going on? The second beast must be lamb-like. It must appear peaceful. If you think the world is going to get better, praise God, we prayed for peace today. But if you think the world is going to get better, you better think again. Prophecy is coming to pass right before our eyes. Just the papacy just yesterday is speaking. Do you see what's going on? Are you blind? Open your eyes. See Jesus. I've just seen Jesus. And I've never and will never be the same. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, the question can be asked of us today, are we blind? Do we not see, Lord, what You're doing? Do we not see what we're doing? Do we not see what is happening in the world today? Lord, whatever You have to do, save us. If we have to have egg on our face, if God, You have to go down and put mud on our eyes, Lord, whatever You have to do, just save us. And so today we've come on this, the first Sabbath of our 2016 camp meeting. We want to learn today so we can lead tomorrow. We want to transform this world, but Lord, we must be transformed first ourselves. And so in the stillness of this hour, I'm going to allow and give people the opportunity, Lord, to respond to your voice. To respond to your voice. And say they want to turn their life over to you. And so God, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me from unrighteousness, and may your spirit move in this place right now. We pray this in the name of Jesus as we pause in this prayer. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Appeal number one, general appeal, you want to see. Maybe you've been blind, maybe you haven't been blind, but you want to be able to see. You want to continue to be able to see what God is doing and where God is taking you. You want to see. I just want you to stand wherever you are right now. You want to see. Lord, help me see. You're standing. You're standing. Because you're saying, God, I want to be see. I want to see. I don't want to be blind. I want to be transformed. Change me, Lord. However you have to do it, just change me. Just do it. Appeal number two today, your head's bowed, your eyes are closed. The decisions today are eternal. You're saying, Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want to turn my life over to you. I want to change. I want to be transformed. I'm not all what I should be, but God, I want to be what I used to be. I want to be changed. So change me. Today, there's an individual who is saying, I want to renew my commitment to the Lord. I don't want to go back to my city. I don't want to go back to my church. I don't want to go back to my community, the same man, the same woman, the same boy, the same girl. I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. I want to begin anew. I want to begin a new chapter in my life right now. Yesterday is yesterday. Today is today. And tomorrow I plan, I want, I shall live for Jesus. Today, that's you. You want to renew your commitment, rededicate your life to the Lord. I want you to meet me down front right here, right now. You want to begin anew. You're not worried about people around you. They can't save you. They don't have a heaven or hell for you. But you're saying, even right now, my past is my past. I want to walk in the newness of life in Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I want to begin a new life in Christ. If that's you today, I just wanted you to come right now. I want to pray for you. You want to renew. You want to rededicate your life to the Lord right now. You want to begin anew. God, transform me. Begin afresh in me. As you come to the front, hold your neighbor's hand, hold your brother's hand, hold your sister's hand. We want an electric Holy Ghost prayer current in this place right now. I want to begin anew. I want to see, but I've got to be transformed. Appeal number three. There's someone here today, you need baptism. You need re-baptism. Your eyes have had mud on them for too long now. God wants to heal you. Not just physically, but Lord, he wants to heal you spiritually. So whoever you are, wherever you are, just as you are, I want you to come. I want to say, Pastor Bird, I'm giving you my hand, but I'm giving Jesus my heart. And I mean it this time. I want to be baptized. I want to be rebaptized. I want to begin anew. It's one thing for rededication. It's one thing for reconsecration. But I need the water today. I need cleansing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so we're going to sing that chorus, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you may have already come for rededication. You may have already come for reconsecration. But God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, is speaking to you. You may be standing out in the audience right now, but God is speaking to you. And he's saying, you need to come for baptism. You need to come for rebaptism. You need to turn your life over to Jesus, and you will smile the rest of your days. I encourage you, bust through the crowd right now. Break through the crowd right now. And meet me right here in the inner circle. We want to pray for you. Tomorrow's not promised. Life's not promised. Do you think the people in France who got up that morning on Bastille Day thought that would be their last day? Do you think those five officers there in Dallas thought it would be their last day? Do you think the young man in Louisiana, the young man there in Minnesota thought that would be their last day? Life is not promised. Life is not guaranteed. While you yet have the opportunity to choose Jesus, choose him right now. So I meet you. Press through the crowd. You've got to have faith. Don't worry about what people are going to say. Don't worry about what they're going to think. You just want to hear God say, well done. Press through. The woman with the issue of blood had to press through according to your faith. Press through and meet me right here, right down front as we sing that chorus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, and hallelujah. Are you here today? If you're here, God wants you. God's calling you. God wants to save you. You can't go back to your city, your church, your community the same way. The Lord is calling you. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Oh, and hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God wants you. He's calling you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And we do this because he is coming, everybody.
He is coming.
He is coming.
He is coming.
He is coming.
He is coming. He is coming. He is coming.
Coming.
He is coming.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He is coming.
He is coming.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We're going to pray. But even as we pray, there's somebody who needs to break through. Somebody say, Pastor, stop. Just stop. No, I can't stop. I can't let you go that easy. God loves you. He died to save you. And he's coming back soon to get you. Take the scales off your eyes. Don't be blinded by what Satan is trying to do to you. But open your eyes and see Jesus. And I guarantee you will never be the same again. I'm going to close out in prayer, but even as I pray, man, woman, boy, girl, whosoever will, let them come. And remember, delayed obedience is the twin brother of disobedience. While you have the opportunity to obey, while you have the opportunity to obey, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. There are pastors here that want to pray with you. There are pastors here that want to record your decision. There are pastors here to help you. But most importantly, God's Spirit is telling you to come. The Lord is not telling you to stay where you are. That's Satan telling you that. God's Spirit is telling you you need to come and begin a new life in him. Just press through. I need baptism. I need rebaptism. I need to begin anew.
I don't care what you did last night, last week, last month. If you've been washed in God's blood and you repent of your sin, open up your heart, let the Holy Ghost in. Father, we thank you. Lord, the tears are falling. Hearts are heavy. But God, you love us more than we could ever imagine. Just like the blind man, you healed him. You're wanting to heal us today. Spiritually, you're trying to heal us. Physically, others. Financially. Somebody's marriage, God, you're trying to heal right now.
There's a mother, there's a father, there's a grandparent that's up here in front right now praying for their grandson, their granddaughter. In the name of Jesus, move by your power. Move.
Thank you for the decisions that have been made today for thee. Trouble the hearts of those who have yet to make their calling and election sure with thee. But when the roll is called up yonder, we plan to be there. Transform us so we can help transform somebody else. We thank you. We love you. And we praise you. We are no longer bound. No more chains are holding us. We're no longer blind. But God, we thank you. We can see. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you love the Lord? Let me hear you say amen right now. If you love the Lord Jesus, can you just give Jesus a hand of praise right now? Just say thank you, Lord.